in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. We declare and decree this evening that at the end of today's meeting, Christ alone is glorified and we are edified. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15. Second Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Right, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul, speaking to his spiritual son Timothy, he says that and from when you set out as a saint, that is this phrase there, that from a child, yeah. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It goes further in verse 16 and says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. So we see that the theme of scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, will be salvation. So God's plan from time has been carefully written out amongst or amidst the stories in the Old Testament books, what we call the Old Testament books, Genesis to Malachi. Look at what Paul says in Acts 26:22. This is Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Having obtained help therefore of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. Yeah, verse 23, Acts 26:23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And, you know, so we've seen that Paul is saying that he's saying no other thing than those things that the apostles, rather the prophets and Moses did say should come to pass, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. Yeah, so we've seen clearly in scriptures that the writings of Paul will speak about the things that the prophet had said and the things that Moses had said. So it means that we need to be careful in how we study scriptures to be able to arrive at the conclusion we ought to arrive at. Are we together? Yeah, we will need to study scriptures carefully in order to arrive at where we ought to arrive. Yeah, look at Luke 24, verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet hath spoken. This is Jesus. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now recall, it means that we said from 2 Timothy 3 and from Acts 26 that the saint is to carefully study scriptures and we ought to arrive at a conclusion. Yeah, there's a conclusion we ought to arrive when we study scriptures. Yeah, what is the conclusion? Christ is to suffer and to enter into his glory. Paul says to Timothy, you've known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee skillful concerning the subject matter salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul in Acts 26, you know, mentions and affirms again and says that he is not saying anything different than those things which Moses and the prophets did say should come, that Christ should suffer and rise from the dead. Are we together? So for Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus took them back to Moses, the beginning of Moses, that is, and beginning at Moses, that is, beginning at the writings of Moses, then all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So a good student of God's word will begin where Jesus began. Let me say better. Yeah, a good student of God's word will begin where God began his Bible study. I'll say that again. A good student of God's word will begin where God began his Bible study. So God began his Bible study in what? Genesis, beginning at Moses. So we need to go back to see what Moses has been writing from time. So Moses will be writing different stories to write about a story. Look at John 5, 45. Look at John chapter 5, verse 45. John chapter 5, verse 45. John 5:45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you. Yeah? Even Moses, in whom you trust. So, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So, Moses wrote about the person. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So, in believing the words of Jesus, that is the message or the content of the message of Jesus, or the content of the words of Jesus, we need to go back and read what Moses said. Because Jesus' words, yeah, they were predicated on the writings of Moses and by extension the prophets. So we need to go back to Genesis and the writings, other books of Moses. So Moses wrote Genesis, he wrote Exodus, he wrote Leviticus, he wrote Numbers, he wrote Deuteronomy. So we need to go back to see how Moses wrote so that we can arrive at the conclusion we ought to arrive. What is the conclusion? Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. That's Acts 26, 22. Conclusion in Luke 24 is Christ will suffer and enter into his glory. So run with me to Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 verse 26. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So verse 27 says, God created man in his image. Now, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we see in verse 27, yeah, and verse 28 now say, and God blessed them. Can you see? God blessed them. Yeah, so in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, that male and female created he them, right? So he said unto them, be fruitful, yes, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. So God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. Yeah, so we need to pay attention to a few words in those verses. So look at verse 27 again. So God created man in his image. Now, the word here, image, is the Hebrew word like we started looking at on Sunday, tselem. That's T-S-E-L-E-M. Yes, tselem. So, I would say it's a word that is used, yeah, that is used to speak about a physical representation of the unseen reality or an unseen being. So, tselem was a word used by Moses, yeah, to speak about the physical representation of the unseen being. Now, we looked at it on Sunday from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15. Yeah, who is the image of the invisible God? Yeah, look at Colossians 1 quickly. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 14. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. So, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 15. He says, who is the image? Yeah, that same word, image. So, when you see Paul using the word image, he is teaching from Moses. Because Paul tells us in Acts 26 that he say no other thing than those things which Moses and the prophets say should come to pass. So, who is the image of God? That is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. Yeah, so it will mean that the every creature Paul speaks about in verse 15 is the them Moses spoke about in Genesis 1:27. Remember, yeah, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. That was speaking about the new creature. So, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Where is it teaching from again? Genesis. So, when it says heaven and in earth, he now says visible and invisible. What did we say? So, if we want to use visible and invisible to explain the word image, it will mean image can be described as a word that is used to speak about the visible representation of the invisible. Are we here? Have you gone home? Yeah, you're home, right? So, the word visible, yeah, the word image will be a word that you used to speak about the visible representation of the invisible. Yeah, we said it is the physical representation of the unseen. Yeah, the physical is the visible. The unseen is the invisible. Are we together? So it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now, go back to verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? You see that? So, the image of the invisible God. So, if you look at verse 16, yeah, we see invisible in verse 15, we see invisible in verse 16. But we see visible in verse 16, and we see image in verse 15. So, the image in verse 15 is the visible in verse 16. Are we here? Yeah, look at it again. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? So, we can say, who is the visible image of the invisible God? Yeah, who is the visible representation of the invisible God? Are we together? Yeah, so, the visible representation of the invisible. That's the word image. In the Greek, it's icon. E-I-K-O-N. I'll say it again. E-I-K-O-N. Are we here? So, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. He now qualifies it again. He says, visible, invisible. So, look at it again. So, it will mean that in verse 16, the heaven and the earth, yeah, will be, if you remember our teaching 2 weeks ago, the word heaven and what it was used to speak about, what that which is, you know, where God dwells, so to say, or God's activity. So, you will see heaven and earth further explained as visible and invisible. So, we want to pay attention to a few words there. Now, the word invisible is the Greek word ariatos. I'll spell it for us. The word visible is the Greek word ariatos. I'll spell it for us. A-O-R-A-T-O-S. A-O-R. A-O-R, A-O-R, A-T-O-S, Colossians 1. Yeah, right, Colossians 1. So, the word invisible, yeah, is the word ariatos. Now, it's a word that speaks of the unseen. How together? Look at Romans 1. Look at Romans 1. Look at how Paul uses that same word again, Romans 1:20. Paul uses that word in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible, that's what auratos, yeah? But the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So that word there, invisible, is the same word used in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That's verse 15. Look at verse 16. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now look at verse 17. He says, "Now unto the King eternal." He says, immortal, invisible. Yeah, that's the word invisible. So, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. So, the invisible God, the eternal God, the immortal God, yeah, we see the image of that God in the person of Christ. Yeah, remember Colossians 1:15. Who is the in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins? Yes, he now says, who is the image? So in whom in verse 14 is the image in verse 15? Yeah, are we together? Which is the visible in verse 16? look at Hebrews 11:27. Look at Hebrews 11:27. Hebrews chapter 11:27. Hebrews 11:27. He says, "By faith he forsook Egypt," that's Moses. "Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So we see that the word invisible is that word we have explained to be what? So the image will be the visible representation of the invisible. Go back to Colossians 1. Kindly go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at Colossians 1, 15. So, who is the image of the invisible God? Yeah, he now tells you, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." Now, recall, when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "In the beginning." If I go to Matthew's Gospel 28, go to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, where is he teaching from? He is teaching from the writings of Moses. All together. Yeah, the word their power is the word authority. So, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that says, "Go ye therefore and teach." Yeah, verse 20 now says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded." So, heaven and earth is used in Matthew 28, verse 18. Now, what do we see as used as further explanation of that in Colossians 1:16? The visible and the invisible. Are we together? Now, we establish that heaven and earth has been or was Moses' way of communicating what? The new creation. That's what you now call the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly deals with that which is heaven, and Jerusalem deals with that which is of the earth. So that's why you call it heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? So, what is Jesus saying? Yeah, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So, it means that Genesis chapter 1, one way or the other, speaks about me. That's what Jesus said, John 5. Are we together? So, is that heaven and earth is speaking about a plan I will execute. A plan I will execute. A plan I will execute. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. He says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, the word "the beginning" is the word "reshit." Spell it for us. R-E-S-H-I-T-H. Look at Genesis 10:10. Same word used in Genesis 10:10. Genesis 10:10. Genesis chapter 10, verse 10. "And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." So that's the word "their beginning," reshit. Are we together? Yeah, Genesis 10:10. Look at Genesis 49, verse 3. So look at Genesis chapter 49, verse 3. He says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the what? Reshit, the beginning of my strength. So it means that the word reshit is a word used for beginning of something, yeah, or beginning of, or for the firstborn. Are we together? Yeah, so it's a word used for either firstborn or the very first or that which is the head. So when it says thou art my firstborn, yeah, thou art the beginning of my strength. That is the first, the head. Are we together? Yeah. Look at Exodus 23:19. Exodus 23, verse 19. So the first of the first fruit, so the first of the first fruits, you see that? The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Look at next chapter 24, chapter 24, Exodus 24, 26. Or look at Leviticus 23, rather, verse 10. Look at Leviticus 23, verse 10. Leviticus 23, verse 10. Look at that quickly. He says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall ye bring a sheaf of the first fruit. So that word first fruit is the word reshit. So can you see reshit used as beginning, firstborn, first fruits? All together, look at Genesis 2:10. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. We know, pay attention to this word when we're dealing with generosity. When we're trying to explain the first fruit and what it meant. Yeah, so Genesis 2, verse 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four rush. Now, this word rush is a subset or, you know, root word, you can say, of reshit. Are we together? So the word reshit speaks about head or the headquarters of an organization or the firstborn or the first or that which is the head. So you now see that word comes in handy again in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That's the word there, rush. Yeah, remember we said rush, there's reshit, there is rush. Yeah, all similar words. All together. So there's reshit, there's rush. So it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So it means that the first mention of the word beginning, yeah, is Genesis chapter 1. But what did we just do briefly? We went as far to see other uses of the word reshit by Moses. Are we together? Are we together? We went as far to see other uses of the word reshit by Moses. So if when Jesus says all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth, in the real sense, he's saying that the scriptures, yeah, when you see the writings of the prophets are talking about me, or that which contains the heaven and the earth, or that which contains the writings of the beginning, yeah, speaks about me. It should make sense a little while. Just hold on. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Remember we said something. The word there, reshit, yeah, has to do with firstborn, first fruits, you know, the head of a quarters, head organization, or the beginning. So look at Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 15. Remember, We said, okay, look at Colossians 1:15. He says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. Now, that firstborn is the Greek word this time around, prototokos. I'll spell it for us. Prototokos. Prototokos. Yeah, the word firstborn is the word prototokos. 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 Now, that word is a word gotten from two Greek words, which is pro and tokos. Now, the word there, pro, is the word that deals with before. It's a shade of the Hebrew word reshit, bereshit. Right? The word there, pro, is the word that deals with before. Yeah, and it's a shade, just the same way we have Ross as shade of reshit from Genesis 1. Yeah, we have Ra and Pro as a shade of the same word, but in the Greek. Now, the word tikos is the word that means to yield fruit. Now, remember, prototokos comes from two Greek words, pro and tokos, or totokos, or tikos. Now, pro speaks about before, yes, and tikos speaks about yielding fruit. Are we together? So, you can combine it, prototokos is before yielding fruit. Or, it will say before is a shade of reshit. Yeah? You can speak of beginning yielding fruit. Yeah, it will make sense shortly. Right? The beginning of the yielding of fruit. All together. Let me show you a few examples. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 7. Luke's Gospel 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn. That is prototokos. Yeah? Prototokos. Look at Romans 8, 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Yeah? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the what? Firstborn, the prototokos. Now, he said prototikos is what? Before or beginning of yielding of fruit. All together. So, firstborn will be what? Before yielding fruit, a fruit born. Okay, hold your thoughts there. Go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten. You see, so the word first begotten is the same word firstborn, prototokos. Are we together? Yeah, prototokos. So first begotten, yeah, is the word firstborn, which is prototokos. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 28. Hebrews 11, 28. Through faith, he kept, that is Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the prototokos should burn them, should touch them rather. Yeah? So, prototokos, first begotten, firstborn. Are we together? First begotten, firstborn. Look at Revelations 1, 5. Revelations chapter 1 verse 5. Revelations 1 5. So, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the firstborn, first begotten, first fruits to yield. Yeah? So, first begotten of the dead. Are we together? First begotten of the dead. So Jesus is the firstborn, yes, in the heavenly Jerusalem. That is, he is the first begotten of the dead. So go back to Colossians 1:15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at Colossians 1:15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at Colossians 1:15 quickly. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the first begotten of every creature? So, we can replace the firstborn of every creature to be equal to bracket, the first begotten from the dead. Are we together? So, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Yeah, so Jesus, so if I were to write Colossians 1:16-15, which I'm not going to write anytime soon, yeah, if I were to have a translation, yeah, I could say Colossians 1:15 is Christ is the visible representation of the invisible God, who is the first begotten from the dead amongst the new creation. Are we together? Yeah, so Christ is the image of God, the firstborn of every creature. Are we here? So, look at verse 16. He now says, for by him, that is that first begotten, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, yes, and in the earth, visible and invisible. Now, see what he says further. He says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. See, dear saints, yes, all these thrones, principalities, powers, things were created. It will speak in reference to the every creature in verse 15. Are we together? Are we together? Please follow attentively, dear saints. Look at verse 16. It says, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him. Are we together? So, what is that was created by the first begotten? Or what is the first begotten in the new creation? Or in the new heaven? Yeah? Or in in God's heaven and earth? It is what? The new creation. So, when it says power, dominions, principalities, all things were created by him and for him, will speak about the new creation. It's not saying principalities and powers were created. So, you know, some people can read that and say, see, even the Babalawo power, they were created for him to show his power. Let me say better. Yeah. So, even the Babalawo power or demonic power, they were created so that Jesus will show power and just, you know, oppress them. So, whether they be altogether. So the word there, whether, is actually a word that can speak with if. It can speak with if or can speak of or. So whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. If in case you are not sure, keep reading. See verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Keep reading. And he is the head of the body. Are we together? So, all the principalities, dominions, and all those things, we speak about authority among saints. We'll look at that in days to come. Are we together? Because he finally tells you, I mean, he is the head of the body. In case you are not sure, he says the church. Are we here? Look at that again. Yeah, look at that again. He starts talking about we. Look at verse 14. He says, in whom we. So take note of the we in verse 14. So we are the new creation that have redemption through his blood. And we, the new creation, have forgiveness of sins through his blood. That's verse 14. In verse 15, he says, is the firstborn of every creature, that is the new creation. In verse 16, for by him were all things created, that is the new creation. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him, by his resurrection, by him being the first begotten, and for him. Are we here? So the new creation. Are we together? 17 now tells you, and he is before all things. How do you know he's before all things? It tells you in verse 14, he is the firstborn. He is the first begotten. He is the firstborn. He is the first begotten. What do we say firstborn is? Prototokos. Yeah? Before yielding fruit. Yeah? He is the firstborn. So, and he is before. Are we together? He is before. So that word before in verse 17 is the word pro, that is pro, that is the word pro in prototokos in verse 17. So, and he is the, he is before all things. Are we together? Yeah, and by him all things consist. So verse 18 now tells you Kai, that word there, and is the word Kai. So Kai is the head of the body. Are we together? He is the head of the body. The church. So the body is the church. He now tells you again, he is the beginning. Are we together? He is the beginning, Ache. The beginning, the origin. He now tells you again, he says the firstborn, that is the first begotten.
Are we together? From the dead. So when you see firstborn in verse 15, yeah, he keeps talking about the same thing. He tells you again, firstborn from the dead. So Revelations 1:5 tells you first begotten from the dead. Colossians 1:18 tells you firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the word preeminence. Yeah, the word there, preeminence, is the word protio. And it's what that means to hold the first place or to be the first. Are we together? I hope we're learning something today. Yeah, please follow attentively. Don't lose track on me today, okay? Yeah, look at it again. He says, and here is the head of the body. Are we together? The body is the church. Are we together? Yeah, the church is the so he now tells you, the head really is the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. The word there, preeminence, means protio, and it means to hold the first place. What is the first place Jesus holds? It is what? The first begotten from the dead. So the preeminence has to, so Jesus holds preeminence amongst the church, amongst the new creation. So, can you see, this preeminence that he holds qualifies the principalities, dominions, and powers spoken about in verse 16. So, he is before all things, so we will read him in Genesis. So, he is at the beginning. Yeah? So, verse 18 now tells you, he is the beginning. Who is the beginning? So, we will read Jesus. What is Paul telling us? We will read about him from the beginning. All together. Yeah, so you see, Paul explores that word in that Hebrew word Reshit very well in the Greek manuscript, as we see. He uses the word beginning, he uses the word head, he uses the word first, he uses the word first begotten, he uses the word before, that's pro. Yeah, he now uses the word preeminence. You see, it's very high concentration of the word, you know, the or variances of the word prototokos, or which is the word Reshit from Genesis 1:1. So we must pay attention to Genesis, because in Genesis we will see Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? In Genesis, we will see Jesus. So go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's see something quickly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Paul tells us that if you read the beginning very well, you will see Jesus. Are we together? So he says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, that darkness there is not speaking about 7 p.m. darkness. Yeah? So the next statement is now, let there be light. It is not PHCN, not the sun. Yeah? But really, we explain that it is the Spirit of God that hovered or moved upon the face of the waters. Are we together? So, let there be light. We see clearly that in Moses' writings, it opens up with the solution to darkness. The darkness there will be figurative for sin and what? Death. Are we together? The darkness there will open up with a solution for what? Sin and death. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Ideally, fruit should yield after its kind. Right? But Moses tells you his kind. Are we together? And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was what? So. Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. Not it again. His. Can you see that? His kind. Are we together? Are we together? Right? And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. So God said to the earth, now what is the earth? From verse 2, he tells us that the earth was without form and void. So Moses is using creation as a parable to explain God's plan of salvation and redemption. Now, are we saying, or did we say that these things did not happen? No, nobody's saying that. But in those happenings, we see the parabolic writings to teach about what? The salvation plan that God has for mankind. Yeah, so the work of the light of God is in the earth. So let the earth bring forth after his kind. Yeah, so we don't say his for seed. Yeah, worst comes to worst, we will say ha. Yeah, but really, that aside, yeah. So really, safer to say is itself. Are we together? So the seed in itself is bringing forth seed after his kind. So let me say this way. So the first seed is the firstborn. Are we together? Which is the first fruit, which is really the beginning. Please, I'll say that again. Yeah, don't lose track on me today, okay? Yeah, please just follow. The firstborn, the first fruits, are we together? Yeah, the first seed is the firstborn, which is the first fruit, which is the prototokos. That is what? Beginning. So, if Jesus is the beginning, it means that when he falls on the earth, he will bring forth seed of his own kind. Are we together? So, the seed falling to the earth is so that it will bring forth seed or fruit after it his own kind. So, from beginning, Moses' use of falling to the earth will speak about his death. Are we together? Please follow attentively. Hold your thoughts in Genesis 1 and go to John 12, 24. Look at John 12, 24. Look at John 12, verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit after his kind." You get that? Yeah? So ideally, you say after its kind. But Moses makes us say that this seed will bring forth fruit after his kind. Are we together? So who is that seed? Look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8, 11. Look at Luke 8, 11. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 11. He says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Now look at John 1. John 1, 4, John 1, 1. The seed is what? Remember, yeah? John 12, 24 tells us that the seed is to die, is to, it said, except the corn of wheat, you know, falls to the ground and dies, it abided alone. So that is figurative for the seed falls to the ground, planted on the earth, and brings forth fruits. Now look at John 1. Look at John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, Bible says in Luke 8, 11, that seed is the Word of God. So we can replace seed with the Word in John 1. So, "In the beginning was the seed, and the seed was with God, and the seed was God." Right? So, the same was in the beginning with God. So, the seed was in the beginning with God. Yeah. So, all things were made by him. That is, the fruits that will yield after his kind were made by his falling. I don't know if you got that. Look at it again. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Why is it? Because the seed will fall and bring forth the things you will call things. Okay, look at that again. Look at verse 4. "In him was life." So in the seed was life. So the seed is the word which has life. So in the seed was life. What is the capability of the life in the seed? It is to bring forth fruit yielding after his kind. Yeah, the seed is the word. Now look at this again. "In him was life, and the life." So in the seed was life, and the life in the seed was the light of men. Are we together? Now look at verse 14. "And the word was made flesh." John 1, 14. The word was made flesh. We can say the seed was made flesh and dwelt amongst men, and will beheld his glory, the glory as the first begotten. You see that? As the first begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you see that? Yeah, so look at verse 14 again. "And the seed was made flesh." So look at this. See verse 1 again. "In the beginning was the seed that was to bring forth fruit after his kind." Yes, "and the seed was with God, and the seed was God." Yeah. Luke 8, 11 tells you that the word, or the word of God, is the seed, or the seed is the word of God. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that the seed will bring forth fruit. So the seed in itself will be the first begotten. Yeah, because in the real sense, it will die and it will come alive. Are we together? Yeah, that will now be a type and shadow or a pattern by which we will follow. So if Jesus is the Bereshit, that is the beginning, that is the first seed, yeah, when he falls to the earth, he's falling to the earth and the rising up will bring forth seed of his kind. So the falling, so except a corn of wheat falls to the ground, he abideth alone. So Jesus' death, yeah, on that is falling to the ground, will be the beginning of the work of salvation. So it will mean that the work of salvation will be explained as fruit or as harvest. Are we together? Yeah. The work of salvation will be explained as fruit or as harvest. So ideally, the harvest of a seed that is planted is the fruit. Let me say better. The fruit we get from a seed that has been planted is what you call harvest. Are we together? So go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3:15. So when you see John 1, yeah, that teaching was from Genesis chapter 1. First few chapters in Genesis. Look at Genesis 3 quickly. Genesis 3, verse 15. Look at Genesis 3, 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. You see that word seed again? So remember, first of all, the seed in Genesis 1 in heaven is to bring forth fruit, that is harvest, after his kind. That means believers will be the fruit from the resurrection of Christ. Altogether, let me say better. The new creation will be the fruit from the resurrection of Christ. So he says that, and thy seed and her seed, there shall be enmity. Yeah, now that same seed was communicated to Abraham, which Paul now tells you to thy seed, which is Christ. Are we together? Yeah, so the seed will be now it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yeah, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Are we together? Now, imagine this is Moses talking about the same redemptive promise. Yeah? So, what is Moses teaching about? The Savior will come as a seed and bring forth fruit after his kind. Yeah? The labor of the seed, yeah, will come with so much sorrow. Are we here? The labor of the seed, that is the seed falling to the ground, will come with so much sorrow. But in the real sense, yeah, it will bring forth fruit after his kind. So the sorrow will not deprive the bringing forth fruit after his kind. Are we together? So in the work of salvation, the Redeemer will be explained as seed. I'll say it again. In the work of salvation, in the work of redemption, the Redeemer, the Savior, that will bruise the activity of the devil, yeah, will be explained as seed. First of all, Genesis 1:11, bring forth seed after his kind. Then he now tells you again, the seed shall be at enmity with the seed, yeah, of the serpent. Remember, yeah, that'll be figurative. Are we together? So the redemption plan of Christ will be explained with what? Agriculture, seed. It will also be explained as first begotten. Hallelujah. Which will be explained as the beginning. Are we together? So imagine wanting a maize foundation. What do you start with? You start with a prototokos. Yeah, you start with that which is first, or you start with a maize first. You don't start with beans. So when you plant a maize seed, the harvest or the fruit of maize will bring forth maize after his kind. So maize will bring forth seed after its kind. In the new sense, the death of Christ and the resurrection will bring forth seed or fruit. Yeah, after his kind. So go by Genesis 1. Genesis 1:27. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, thou fruit, be fruitful. Look at it, sorry. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. For something to be fruitful, it means it has to be a seed. A seed is that which brings much more fruit, or replenishes, or multiplies, or is fruitful. Yeah, for every fruit you see, there was a seed that was planted. Are we together? So, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we speak about God's new creation found in the image of His Son, or found in His Son. So, let us make man in our own image. Yeah, is that, it's like, let us make man in our own seed. Are we together? Let us make man in our own seed, so that the man that will be found in that seed will be the harvest of the seed. Are we together? Maybe on Sunday we'll look at the word replenish, subdue, and things like that. Yeah, the word there, replenish, speaks about putting back what ought to be there. Yeah, to put back what went astray, or to put back what ought to be there. Are we together? Please follow. Are we together? Are we together? Hold your thoughts quickly and go to Matthew 13:34. Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 34. Are we here, please? Are we here, please? Are we here, please? Look at Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 34. He says, all these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in what? Parables. And without parables spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, yeah, which was spoken by the prophet, saying. So the prophet, so really, he's teaching from Psalm 78, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, thereabout. Yeah, so the prophet, or it was written in that prophecy, I will open my mouth in parables, yeah, illustrations, yeah, that's what parables, yeah, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the beginning of the world. So Jesus taught in parables, the same parables that Moses taught in. I hold together. So the word, the foundation of the word, can you see that's a better word, beginning of the word, right? So I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the beginning of the world. So what was kept secret in Genesis 1, for instance? Genesis 1:11, yeah, thy seed, yeah, let there be lights, thy seed shall produce after his kind. But keep reading, yeah? So look at verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto you the parables of the tares of the field. And verse 37, he answered and said unto them, now disciples came unto him and said, declare unto us, rather, the parable of the tares of the field. Now look at verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Glory to God. The field is the what? The air. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Look at verse 34. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy therefore going and selleth all that he had, and buyeth the field. Look at verse 35. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly apparel, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had, and bought it. How about together? So we see that Jesus used parables of seed sowing, then he gives four other parables using the same analogy. Are we together? So he's saying no other thing that was kept secret from the foundation of the world, right? Which is from the beginning, which is from the writings of Moses, which is Genesis. Are we together? Look at Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. 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 And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him great multitude, so that he entered into the ship and sat in the sea. Verse 2. And he taught them many things by what? Parables. Are we together? And said unto them in his doctrine, that is in his teaching, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Yeah? There went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, fowls of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. Now look at verse 10. Look at verse 9. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Right? And he said unto them, he that had ears, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him went with the twelve, asked him about the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, they will not understand. And hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then shall ye know all parables? What is Jesus saying? If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand other parables? So it means that this parable of the seed is a chief parable the believer must understand. Are we together? Yeah? So look at verse 14. He now tells them, the sower soweth the word. So the sower soweth the word. Luke 8:11 tells us the word is the seed. So the sower soweth the seed, which is the word. So the word is the light that is to shine. Yeah, so let there be light is let there be that seed that will bring forth much fruit after his kind. Yeah, you see, now think about something. If you want to start a maize foundation, let's use that same parable again. If you want to start a maize foundation or a maize cartel, let's use that word, cartel. Let's say you want to have, if you want to start a maize plantation, let's be more agricultural, right? What is the first thing you need? Yeah, the seed is the beginning of something new. Are we together? You have the land, but the seed is the beginning of something new. So, using illustrations to demonstrate spiritual things will be what the parables were used for. So, parables of seed will be used to demonstrate something spiritual. So, the Bible says that the sower soweth the word. So, it means that what Jesus is teaching in Mark 4 has to do with spiritual realities. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? So, why was Genesis 1 a parable? It wasn't written to God's palace. Yeah, look at Matthew's Gospel 13. Remember, Moses was dealing with stiff-necked people. Look at Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 10. The same parable. Look at Matthew's Gospel, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parable. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Mark 4 shows us that sower soweth the word. Are we together? Yeah? So, he now tells you, sower went forth to sow. Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speaketh thou unto us in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries. Yeah, the word there, mysteries, is mysterion. Yeah, that which needs explanation. So, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, what is it that God selects those who he gives the mystery? No. It is that what? The hardness of their heart makes them maintain mystery as mystery. Yeah, the hardness of their heart makes them not see the understanding of the mysteries. Yeah, so because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Yeah, for where whosoever had, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away, even he that had. Are we together? Therefore speak I them to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross. So the reason for parables that Moses wrote is because of the waxed gross heart of the people. Are we together? So, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their words, their hearts, and should be what? Converted, and I should heal them. So, can you see, the healing is speaking about had nothing to do with physical healing right from time. So, it means that healing has to do with, this healing will speak about what? The spiritual healing, which is what? The spiritual darkness, which is what? The opposite of light. Hallelujah. But blessed are your eyes for the sea and your ears for the year. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have seen them and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. I will get that. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doreth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arise, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed amongst the thorns is he that heareth the word. Verse 23. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth what? Fruit, yeah, and bringeth forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 1,000. Altogether, another parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. So we see that the use of parables was because of the waxed heart, or the people's heart that waxed gross, the hardness of heart. Altogether, so Moses communicated God's word in parables. So seeing they don't see, so he used what they know to explain what God is going to do. Hallelujah. So in their minds they will see it as an end in what he was saying. So what they knew about, he was speaking about what God's plan would mean, or what God's plan was about. So most of them were into agriculture, like we've established in the first few teachings of this series. They were into farming. So Moses used illustrations that they were acquainted with to show God's plan. So Genesis is not a book to argue how long the earth was created. No, use another book. Yeah, Genesis is not a book to argue about who Cain married. No, use another book. Yeah, so Genesis is a book to speak about God's plan. Yes, yeah, speak about Jesus. So God is that sower. And the seed that God the sower sows is his son, which is himself. I'll say that again. God is the sower. And the seed that God sows is his son, which is himself. So that's why I say, for God so loved the world that he sowed, yeah, that he gave himself. Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, that whosoever believes in him becomes a part of the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the earth, which is the field, will speak of the hearts of men. Yeah, so we establish heaven speaks of God, or God's activity. So God's activity will be sown from heaven, or sown from heaven to the earth. So God sows his son on the earth, which is in our hearts. So the sacrifice of Christ is to the conscience of man, not to God. Because the sacrifice of Christ is God put on flesh, yeah, to speak to the conscience of man. I'll say that again. The sacrifice of God, yeah, sacrifice of God in Christ Jesus is to the conscience of man. The sacrifice of Christ is to the conscience of man. Yeah? Let me show you something quickly. Look at Hebrews 10:22. Look at Hebrews 10:2 first. Hebrews 10:2. So, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For there would they not have ceased to be offered. So it means that if those sacrifices could make them perfect, they should have ceased to offer them. Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. So the problem with the people was the conscience of sin they had. Same consciousness. Yeah, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away what? Sins. Wherefore, when he cometh unto the world, that's Jesus, he seeth sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepared me as. So, in both offering and sacrifice for sins, thou hast no pleasure. So God didn't send them to sacrifice their lambs, but the hardness of their heart. So the sacrifices of lamb was because of the conscience of man. Yeah, but Hebrews chapter 10 opens up with telling you that those sacrifices, if they were able to purge the sinners once, he should have done it once, not every year. And we're together. So verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Yeah. Yeah, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books as it is written. So, coming in the volume of the books means I come in as the fulfillment of the scriptures. Yeah, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sins, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, but the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting to thy enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, I'm perfected forever. Yeah. Say, I've been sanctified. I've been made perfect. Hallelujah. I have been made perfect. Look at verse 15. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness. So that's the proof. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. We'll look at the Ten Commandments in weeks to come. Yeah, and in their minds will I write them. And their sin and iniquities will I remember no more. He's not saying God will forget. Yeah, he's not saying God used to remember and take this into account, but he's forgetting now. You know, he chose to forget. No. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, means I will not take into account their sins. Now, where remission of this is, there is no offering, there is no more offering for sins. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Now, carefully look at verse 21. And having an high priest over his house, the house of God, yeah, let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance. Can you see? All this long talk is to the heart, to the mind. See it again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from and what? Evil conscience, and our bodies washed with what? Pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke us to love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if you sin willfully, after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, what is sinning willfully? Sinning willfully, like we've taught in previous teachings, is to reject that sacrifice that is to your conscience. So 22 tells you, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Yeah, so having our heart sprinkled. So rejecting that knowledge of having the heart sprinkled, which is rejecting the gospel, is sinning willfully. Yeah, there remained no more sacrifice for sin. So there is no sin to repackage, or there is no sacrifice that has taken care of the sin of unbelief or the sin of rejection. Yeah, what are we to do? We are to save our hearts, yeah, sprinkle our hearts from evil conscience and adapt ourselves. Attach ourselves with that covenant, that promise, for we know he is faithful that promise. So we hold fast that profession, yeah, without wavering, because we have a full assurance. Hallelujah. Let me round up here. So Genesis chapter 1 speaks about the seed that will die and rise again and become the first begotten. Then we will be the harvest from that activity. We will be the fruits from the activity. We will be the fruit that will be the multiplication, the fruitfulness that is expected for the blessedness that comes with them found in him. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Yeah, I said a lot within those few lines, right? Yeah, the seed will bring forth much fruit, which is going to be harvest. Yeah, the harvest will be the fruitfulness and the multiplicity. Yeah, in the real sense, it is that in Christ we multiply by doing the work of evangelism. Yeah, by doing the work of, you know, of reaching out, by preaching the gospel. Yeah, so in preaching the gospel, a man that believes the gospel becomes a member of the harvest, a part 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 of the fruits that comes upon, yeah, that comes as his kind from the seed that was planted. Yes, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. It's you and I taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's you and I taking the message of God's seed, yeah, to the hearts of men and making them harvest in God's vineyard. I love you all. Have a lovely night. Cheers.